You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So this week I spoke to John Tamahere about the Māori Party environment policies. He talks about why protecting our environment is so important. Here is John. I understand that the Māori Party has a few policies on environment issues, such as a freshwater policy, an oil and gas exploration policy, and a clean energy policy that works to secure green jobs. Could you begin by explaining why it is important that the Māori Party has clear environmental policies?
Well, we look, Papatūānuku is our Mother Earth. We don't like selling it to foreigners, and we don't like the degradation. Our two policy platforms are, as I said, Oranga Tangata, Oranga Whenua. They come from a saying from the prophet Ratana, Māuiui te Whenua, Māuiui te Tangata. And what that means is that, you know, if your people are sick, the land will be sick, and if the land is sick, the people will be sick. And so what we've got to do is concentrate not on the here and the now and how we price gouge and make our living now. We have to flash forward about the type of world we want. So what the Māori Party in its conservation and environmental policy has put down, as we have in our procurement policy, as we have in our treaty rights policy and all the rest, we've put down what our world view and entitlement is in our country. And that is to say, look, fossil fuels have had their day and we must shift. We must shift quickly. But the shift, the way we move across there, has to be signalled so that the moneyed men that are presently making all the money out of price gouging and cartels and fossil fuels use their significant investment tools now to start to invest in alternative energy production capacity. Because if you don't close them down over a timeline, they'll continue to just gouge out our Mother Earth. When humankind has got enough ingenuity and enough capacity to shift subject to resourcing to alternative type fuels, whether it's hydrogen, we upgrade. You know, we only use 5% of, we only capture 5% of our rainwater. Other OECD countries capture 50% of it. And I'm talking about hydro here alone, for hydro alone. You know, we're blessed with geothermal. We're blessed with a whole range of things, and that's just in powering up our houses. And then if we can stop the 300,000 fossil fuel used cars coming across the port of Auckland every year, well, then you then force a shift to a subsidy on hybrid or electric vehicles. Here's the final thing I'll say to you. We won the landmark decision in 1982, the Motunui decision, about the way in which effluent was just pumped out into our coastal sea. There are food cupboards, you know. That was in 1982. You know what? Ruanui, Debbie Nariwapaka, my co-leader partner in Taranaki, Ruanui just won a Court of Appeal decision stopping mining in their coastal space, in sea space, right? That's gone to the Supreme Court. 40 years after winning Motunui, us Māoris are still battling with everything we've got, but we need a government that has a bit of backbone and a bit of courage to put in place timelines to say to the great oil barons and all the rest of it, time's up, use your money over this time to pivot and move across into new technology.
Why do you think that people are still stuck in their ways, wanting to use fossil fuels, not wanting to move forward to perhaps a greener future? I suppose the big thing is with New Zealand is that we sell ourselves as this 100% pure, green, beautiful place to come and visit. And I know people can't really visit at the moment, but when they can one day... Why do you think people want to continue doing things like oil exploration when we just seem to be attacking what we're selling to the rest of the world as somewhere that's really green focused?
Yeah, well, see, in relative terms, we probably are. what I'd say is it's part of acculturation. Now, I'll give you an example. Under lockdown for COVID, we own a IT company that drives all e-prescriptions for the country. E-prescriptions prior to COVID were around about 21%. That's what GPs were using. Under COVID, it went up to 84%. In terms of remote workers, we got more productivity out of our back office over COVID than we did when we were clocking people in under an industrial age culture. Start work at, see, we all go out on the roads at the one time. That's because the bosses all say you've got to punch in at the same time and punch out at the same time. All skills start at the same time. So we wouldn't have congestion if we went to a digital world, right? Why is it that every school has to do and it studies the way it does? Because it's 250 years old and it's acculturated, right? And this is what we do and we don't like changing because we're all brought up as little automatons. And we learned that way, my kids learned that way, but it's just a dumb way of learning. If you look at the way we do business, it's a dumb way of doing business. A lot more can be achieved remotely through upgrading the capacity that digital provides. And you know what happened? As soon as the lockdown come off, we're back to the acculturated industrial age. And our culture is embedded in industrial age thinking, yet we have tools available for the new era. And we just need leaders to push us using carrots and sticks all the way through to upload those new capacities that we have in a digital world.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.